الحمد لله نحمده ونشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We praise Him. We thank Him. We seek His guidance. We ask for His forgiveness. And we aim to return to Him on His straight path, in repentance and in compassion and in mercy. Indeed, God Almighty, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and the angels pray for the blessings on the Prophet. O ye who believe, pray for peace and blessings on Prophet Muhammad. We have a new Hijri year, and there's also a new year in our solar calendar. Therefore, it is a time to reflect, to review, and to reset, to see where we are as a community. 2010, we'd have to say, Alhamdulillah, was a year of growth for Islam in America. We have more Muslims involved in the public affairs of our society. More Muslim institutions offering free medical services to the poor. More mosques offering food to the needy. More Muslim educational institutions than ever before. 10 years ago, when I was in Washington, D.C., you could barely count a handful of Muslims in Washington. Now, there are hundreds, if not over 1,000 Muslims working in our federal government. There are more PhDs, more MDs, more MBAs, more Juris Doctorates, and other professionals are coming out from the Muslim American community. And internally, Muslims among the masses are becoming more aware of what Islam is versus what foreign cultures are about. So we are growing. We are doing more. We are contributing to society in a healthy and an effective manner, and we are becoming a more healthy community internally as well. All due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2010 was also a very challenging year. It was a year of challenges highlighted by the opposition to the mosque in Lower Manhattan and other mosques. It was an election year where in the state of Oklahoma, the people there passed a law to ban Sharia, which was a meaningless proposition, yet it was done for cheap political pandering and fear-mongering and wedging Muslims from non-Muslims. There was also the Quran burning fiasco. So our major challenge as we walk into 2011 is to see more growth in our community with more resistance and pushback in terms of our work for justice. The main challenge, therefore, is anti-Muslim bigotry. And these bigots, these people who don't want to see Muslims as a part of civic life, are distorting the truth. They twist the truth so that our success in integration is spun to the media as infiltration, as if we don't belong in this society. Our successes in terms of what we're doing to contribute for society are spun in the media as if we are taking over. And all we are doing is asking for our representation in terms of our voice that comes along with our taxation. That if we pay our tax dollars, we want to make sure that that money is spent for justice and not spent for injustice. And so as we work along that path, there will be continuous resistance against that kind of work. So let us take a closer reflection on anti-Muslim bigotry in the United States. There are three types of anti-Muslim sentiment in our society today. The first is probably representing the majority of Americans, and that is basically representing people who just don't know. They don't know what Islam is, and they see the negative images continuously on television and on the internet, the beheadings, the suicide terror, the violent rhetoric, and so they fear. They fear what they don't know. And that is basically what xenophobia is. Xenophobia means the fear of the stranger. And the stranger is foreign, is alien to mainstream society. And so with that unknown, we have to, as Muslims, take responsibility for that. We have to not only explain what Islam is, but exemplify what Islam is. We are Islam to them. And the more vocal we are, then the more they know and the less they fear. And again, we have to underscore the point that this is the majority of people in our society. That they may be opposed to the building of the mosque in Manhattan, for example, but it's because they don't know. And it is our responsibility. This happened actually in Temecula, about an hour and a half east of here in Riverside area, where there was a mosque planned to be built, and a handful of bigots opposed the mosque. And again, they raised all the negative caricatures about Islam and Muslims in preventing that mosque from being built. Yet, when we went to Temecula and worked with the community there, we saw an outpour of support by non-Muslims for the Muslims in Temecula. And when we went to the Planning Commission and we had to hear the tirades of anti-Islamic bigotry by the racists in that area, again, which were just a handful of people, the Planning Commission voted unanimously to support the building of the mosque there. Again, by the mercy of Allah and by the work that we did in explaining who we are to people. And they came and thanked us and said, we did not know what really this was all about. And so we see that happening. And here in Los Angeles City, 2 weeks ago, there was an LA City Council resolution that declared that there needs to be religious freedom for Muslims. And again, all 15 City Council members passed that resolution unanimously, and they spoke out against the anti-Muslim bigotry in this country. That was done along by Muslims, this work, but more importantly, in a coalition with non-Muslims, like a group called the Progressive Jewish Alliance. So that work with non-Muslims, Jews, and Christians who want to know, and secularists who also have goodness in their heart, is important for our work to continue. So that is the first category that we want to talk about, those who just don't know. The second category of groups that promote this kind of anti-Muslim sentiment are those who don't believe in religion, or they think religion is too much of a burden to follow. They can be deemed, let's say, secular extremists. They think anything that is a religious expression is something that should be done away with in our society. They think that religion is uncool, backward, it's not fun. They are into immediate self-gratification, but at the same time, they have no purpose in life but to gain more pleasure. And I see a lot of young people today because of winter break. And I just want to point to a famous story that was made into a movie by Disney, Pinocchio. Remember Pinocchio? He was wanted to be a real boy, but he needed to have a conscience, and yet he was lured into what was called Pleasure Island. So we have 40 and 50, 60-year-old males who are stuck on Pleasure Island. They don't know any better because they have no meaning in life, but we should pray for them. Pray that they see the truth at some point in their lives. and pray that those around them help them and their children help them, and from their offspring, perhaps, there will be righteous people who work for the truth. Because of their blindness for immediate self-gratification, this kind of person, these people who are just into pleasure, are the ones responsible for the most deaths this weekend in terms of drunk driving. That is a real crime when we allow that to happen in our society. Now, the third category that we want to cover are political opportunists. So we covered those who don't know, those who don't believe in religion or think that religion is too much of a burden, and now the major challenge to us are the political opportunists, the third category. That group is the group that exploits 9/11 and the fear and the hysteria of the American public. Their main ability is they have influence in society to make a straight line look crooked. And the Quran talks about them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يستحبون الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة ويصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا أولئك في ضلال بعيد. They are those who their sole purpose in life is to love this life over the next life, and they turn people away from the path of God Almighty, and they make something, that straight path, look crooked. They are those who are the furthest in terms of being astray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to be aware of those people, and they are definitely in our midst. It's just a fact of life. They love the stranglehold of their power at the expense of the truth. They turn our assets into social liabilities. They turn our integration into infiltration. Success for us, for them, means failure for them. We aim for change. They maintain the status quo. And their whole issue is, we may go as far as giving you the right to worship, but we will not give you your human rights. We will lock you up in Guantanamo, but make sure that you have halal food and a prayer rug to pray in. That's as far as they will go. We must hold dearly to our Islamic mandate, therefore, brothers and sisters, in terms of keeping that work for social justice part and parcel of our faith, and not to separate Islam. Because as the Quran says, if we want to become خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ لِلنَّاسِ, the best community for humanity, then we must uphold our end of the bargain, our end of the deal, and that is تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنَ الْمُنْكَرِ, that we enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, that we promote what is of social benefit, and that we work against what is of public harm. That is the deal that makes us the best for humanity. And if we abdicate that out of fear of what these anti-Muslim bigots are doing, then we violate our own mandate in terms of what's in the Quran, and we violate also the Prophet Muhammad saying that we are one ummah, like we are one body. And so when we see injustices anywhere in the world, we should also feel the pain, and we should work for that issue. This is not politics, brothers and sisters, for us as Muslims. This is our end of the deal in terms of serving humanity and serving the mandate that is in the Quran. In fact, it is inspired by the Quran. We will meet resistance as a result. And when we go and work to stop injustices or speak out against injustice, this group of political opportunists are exemplified again in the Quran, as the Quran says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. And if you tell them to stop spreading corruption on earth, they say, but we are just trying to improve things. What they are saying is, we are trying to civilize you barbarians. That there are savages and barbarians, yet they have that supremacy to determine what is good for them, and they will promote war, and they will lock up people, and they will take away civil liberties in the name of civilizing humanity. There is a CBSNews.com article that talks about one group, a significant component of these political opportunists. And I ask you to take a look at it if it has not been taken off the website by now. It is called The Great Islamophobic Crusade, written by a man named Max Blumenthal, who writes for The Nation. He says, anti-Muslim bigotry in America today is driven by right-wing Zionism. Not just Jews, who are right-wing Zionists, but also Christians and secularists, who look at the state of Israel as a quote-unquote Fort Apache against the Muslim world. Again, looking at the Muslim world as savages and civilizing those savages. Therefore, U.S. policy to them must be blindly pro-Israel, and hence this is the link for a lot of anti-Muslim bigotry in the United States today. And even when we look at the mosque in Lower Manhattan and the mosque in Temecula that was trying to be built, you will look in that discourse, in that debate, the demand that they condemn what the Palestinians are doing in order for them to be accepted. And if they don't condemn the way these bigots want them to, they are deemed anti-American and pro-terrorist sympathizers. So there's that link, definitely. And even in 2008, there was a documentary DVD called Obsession that said that Islam, astaghfirullah, is a fascist ideology, and that Muslim organizations have roots in Nazism. And they collected enough money to dump 24 million copies of this filth on voters in battleground states in the 2008 elections. This group that funded it is called the Clarion Fund. It also is linked to a group in Israel called Aisha Torah. And again, I'm not saying that this is done by all Jews, but this is done by a group of right-wing Zionists, and there are some Jewish leaders like George Soros, like Rabbi Leonard Bierman, like Daniel Kurtzer, who is an Orthodox Jew, Israeli American ambassador, who are opposed to this. And we should work with them on this issue. And I say this because among our young people now, especially those young people today who are going back to high school and college, the Palestinian issue and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are major issues. And what we will see, that there will be violent rhetoric against Palestinians, and some Muslims, unfortunately, respond with violent rhetoric. We must replace that violent rhetoric with non-violent causes. And we must show positive approaches and outlets for activism. We can't just tell our young Muslims on these campuses not to be involved with these causes, because we will lose them, number one, and again, we violate our own mandate that is from the Quran. So our young people, if they are eager to be involved in activism, they also have to be aware of those who trap them into violent rhetoric, because those people who trap them may be recruiters for violent causes that are unjust, or they may be paid informants. They're trying to lure them into saying something stupid in one of those sting operations. So young people, use your minds and watch out for those who use violent rhetoric and try to tap into your emotion. The Quran says, in terms of those who attack us, وَإِنْ عَقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. If they attack you, you have the right to respond, but it is better for you to be perseverant and to be patient in your work. وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِّمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. that source of perseverance, of work for righteousness, of patience in that work is coming from God Almighty, that source of energy. And so don't worry about what they are planning. Don't fall into despair. Surely God is with those who are conscious of Him, and they are those who are working for doing good in this life. Ud'u Rabbakum. Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. All praise is due to a God for giving us all the things that are good for us and testing us to build our character with trials and tribulations. And there is no God but the one God, and peace and blessings be on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as we move forward, brothers and sisters, I just want to mention three things about these three categories of people that have anti-Muslim apprehensions or anti-Muslim bigotry. We had a gathering here on 9/11. Every group of American was here. So this center was a community center for America to unite them to become more secure and to preserve our freedoms and liberties. And Channel 4 covered this event, and they covered the healthcare clinic in the back, and they covered the services out here in the lecture hall. And the main message is, Muslims have been working to improve the fabric of American pluralism and to strengthen America in terms of its security, but very few people know about this. And one person from the Mormon faith said, we have to thank the Muslims of America because they're the only ones that are really doing anything meaningful after 9/11. So we are gaining, brothers and sisters, and this institution is doing work for us. We are giving something to the Islamic Center of Southern California, but what we give, the center is giving us more back. It is giving us a sense of community. It is giving us an identity. It is giving us a sense of security. And it is giving our young people hope in the Muslim youth group programs. So I ask you today to invest in this Islamic center. And it is in need of our help today because of some budget challenges facing our Islamic center. So I ask you, before you walk out, go to the donation box and give for what it has done for Islam in America. Number two, to young people especially who are going back to college, when the Palestinian issue is brought up and you hear some violent rhetoric, I ask you to look to nonviolent causes in working for justice, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did throughout his life, even when he was a head of state and at a time of war, if there was a chance for peace, as the Quran says, incline for peace and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so instead of responding to violent rhetoric against Palestinians with more violent rhetoric against everybody else, stay away from that, avoid it, and work for nonviolent causes. We have a petition in the back. I ask all of you to sign it. It's called the Divestment Initiative. What we are saying is we don't want our tax dollars going to oppress the Palestinians. And we demand that American companies who take retirement funds in the state of California to make sure that they don't benefit from the Israeli occupation in the Palestinian territories. So go to the back and you will see that petition. And lastly, I will say that if we give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that we will get more back, inshallah, in this life and in the next life as well. O Allah, please do not bear on us a burden greater than we can bear. Please do not give us a burden like the burden you have given to those before us. And blot out our sins, forgive us for our trespasses, clear up our mistakes. You are our Lord Supreme. Help us against those who deny the truth. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqim as-salah, inna as-salata tanha an al-fahsha wal-munkar.